At 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Down here in New Zealand, it's Sunday the 10th of March, and today's words of wisdom by Manly P. Hall are these. Sunday the 10th of March, being good at something shouldn't just look like you know a lot of tricks. It's not fun to watch someone play music if they only focus on the fancy stuff. Practicing and learning makes things better, but it's more important to use those skills to make something meaningful. I'm going to read you a poem. This poem's called Ask Mummy, Ask Daddy by John Agard. When I ask Daddy, Daddy says, ask Mummy. When I ask Mummy, Mummy says, ask Daddy. I don't know where to go. Better ask my teddy. He never says no. Let's listen to some music! Thanks to Nancy Stewart of nancymusic.com.
Waddle and walk. Every birdie has a song to sing. Every birdie has a song to sing. You hear it singing all day long, for a birdie has to sing his song. Every birdie has a song to sing. And every baby has a song to sing. Every baby has a song to sing. And though it won't have any words, it's the sweetest song you've ever heard. Every baby has a song to sing. Every mother has a song to sing. Every mother has a song to sing. A song for singing when it's light, and a lullaby to sing at night. Every mother has a song to sing. Every daddy has a song to sing. Daddy has a song to sing. You hear him holler out a song, or humming quietly along. Every daddy has a song to sing. Every grandma has a song to sing. Every grandma has a song to sing. And when she sings her song to you, then it becomes your song too. Every grandma has a song to sing. Every grandpa has a song to sing. Every grandpa has a song to sing. The song of happiness or strife, the song he's carried all his life. Every grandpa has a song to sing. Everybody has a song to sing. Everybody has a song to sing. And when we're singing the same song, you know we just can't do it wrong. Everybody has a song to sing. And when we're singing the same song, you know we just can't do it wrong. Everybody has a song to sing. Everybody has a song to sing. Little mouse, where did you go? Are you in the red house? I don't know.
You know what time it is. We are talking about giraffes. Do you know what a giraffe is? Well, you will soon. Giraffes are found in the dry savannas of Africa, where they roam among the open plains and woodlands. Well known for their long necks, these gentle giants are the world's tallest living land animals. An adult male can grow to around 5.5 meters. That's taller than 3 adult humans. That is very tall. A giraffe's height is helpful for keeping a lookout for predators such as lions and hyenas. Their excellent eyesight allows them to spot hungry beasts from far away too. Giraffes only eat plants, which makes them herbivores. A herbivore, someone that only eats plants. Their favorite food is the acacia tree. And they use their long necks to reach the leaves and buds in the treetops. Their long tongues, which grow to a whopping 53 centimeters, also help them to pull down leaves growing way up high. Whilst they may eat a lot, giraffes don't drink much water. This is because they get most of their water from their leafy meals and only need to drink once every few days. And boy, it must be an effort having to lean all the way down to get a drink. Giraffes are very social animals, and they roam around in groups. These groups are called towers, and they typically have around 15 members led by an adult male. The other members are females and young males. To see who is stronger, males, who are called bulls, fight by butting their long necks and heads. This is known as necking. These fights aren't usually dangerous, and they end when one bull admits defeat and walks away. Female giraffes give birth standing up. The result? Newborns are welcomed to the world with a 1.5 meter drop to the ground. Ouch! But these infants are quick to get on their feet. Within 30 minutes, they are standing, and only hours later, they are able to run with their mothers. In the wild, these beautiful creatures live for around 25 years. In captivity, they live longer and have been known to reach 40 years old. And I remember when I was a child, I went to the zoo and I saw a giraffe, and I just remember his tongue. The zookeeper was feeding the giraffe, and he was leaning down, so he was quite, his face was quite close to us, and I just remember his tongue. Whoa. That tongue is something else. Have you ever heard a giraffe? Ooh, I found a giraffe sound. I think it's a giraffe eating. Let's find out. Let's listen to the sound of a giraffe. That was the sound of a giraffe having something to eat. Now I want to play you a story. It's called The Selfish Giant. While we're talking about big, tall things, this is called The Selfish Giant by Oscar Wilde.
The Selfish Giant. Every afternoon, as they were coming from school, the children used to go and play in the giant's garden. It was a large, lovely garden with soft green grass. Here and there over the grass stood beautiful flowers like stars, and there were 12 peach trees that in the springtime broke out into delicate blossoms of pink and pearl, and in the autumn bore rich fruit. The birds sat on the trees and sang so sweetly that the children used to stop their games in order to listen to them. "How happy we are here!" they cried to each other. One day the giant came back. He had been to visit his friend the Cornish ogre, and had stayed with him for 7 years. After the 7 years were over, he had said all that he had to say, for his conversation was limited, and he determined to return to his own castle. When he arrived, he saw the children playing in the garden.
"What are you doing here?"
he cried in a very gruff voice, and the children ran away.
"My own garden is my own garden,"
said the giant.
"Anyone can understand that, and I will allow nobody to play in it but myself."
So he built a high wall all around it, and put up a notice board. "Trespassers will be prosecuted." He was a very selfish giant. The poor children had now nowhere to play. They tried to play on the road, but the road was very dusty and full of hard stones, and they did not like it. They used to wander round the high wall when their lessons were over, and talk about the beautiful garden inside. "How happy we were there," they said to each other. Then the spring came, and all over the country there were little blossoms and little birds. Only in the garden of the selfish giant it was still winter. The birds did not care to sing in it, as there were no children, and the trees forgot to blossom. Once a beautiful flower put its head out from the grass, but when it saw the notice board it was so sorry for the children that it slipped back into the ground again and went off to sleep. The only people who were pleased were the snow and the frost.
"Spring has forgotten this garden," they cried, "so we will live here all year round."
The snow covered up the grass with her great white cloak, and the frost painted all the trees silver. Then they invited the north wind to stay with them, and he came. He was wrapped in furs, and he roared all day about the garden and blew the chimney pots down.
"This is a delightful spot," he said. "We must ask the hail on a visit."
So the hail came. Every day for 3 hours he rattled on the roof of the castle till he broke most of the slates, and then he ran round and round the garden as fast as he could go. He was dressed in grey, and his breath was like ice.
"I cannot understand why the spring is so late in coming," said the selfish giant, as he sat at the window and looked out at his cold white garden. "I hope there will be a change in the weather."
But the spring never came, nor the summer. The autumn gave golden fruit to every garden, but to the giant's garden she gave none. "He is too selfish," she said. So it was always winter there, and the north wind and the hail and the frost and the snow danced about through the trees. One morning the giant was lying awake in bed when he heard some lovely music. It sounded so sweet to his ears that he thought it must be the king's musicians passing by. It was really only a little linnet singing outside its window, but it was so long since he had heard a bird sing in his garden that it seemed to him to be the most beautiful music in the world. Then the hail stopped dancing over his head, and a north wind ceased roaring, and a delicious perfume came to him through the open casement.
"I believe the spring has come at last,"
said the giant, and he jumped out of bed and looked out. What did he see? He saw a most wonderful sight. Through a little hole in the wall the children had crept in, and they were sitting in the branches of the trees. In every tree that he could see there was a little child, and the trees were so glad to have the children back again that they had covered themselves with blossoms, and were waving their arms gently above the children's heads. The birds were flying about and twittering with delight, and the flowers were looking up through the green grass and laughing. It was a lovely scene, only in one corner it was still winter. It was the farthest corner of the garden, and in it was standing a little boy. He was so small that he could not reach up to the branches of the tree, and he was wandering all round it, crying bitterly. The poor tree was still quite covered with frost and snow, and the north wind was blowing and roaring above it. "Climb up, little boy," said the tree, and it bent its branches down as low as it could. But the boy was too tiny. And the giant's heart melted as he looked out.
"How selfish I've been," he said. "Now I know why the spring would not come here. I will put that poor little boy on the top of the tree, and then I will knock down the wall, and my garden shall be the children's playground forever and ever."
He was really very sorry for what he had done, so he crept downstairs and opened the front door quite softly and went out into the garden. But when the children saw him, they were so frightened that they all ran away, and the garden became winter again. Only the little boy did not run, for his eyes were so full of tears that he did not see the giant coming. And the giant stole up behind him and took him gently in his hand and put him up into the tree. And the tree broke at once into blossom, and the birds came out and sang on it, and the little boy stretched out his two arms and flung them round the giant's neck and kissed him. And the other children, when they saw that the giant was not wicked any longer, came running back, and with them came the spring.
"It is your garden now, little children," said the giant, and he took a great axe and knocked down the wall.
And when the people were going to market at 12 o'clock, they found the giant playing with the children in the most beautiful garden they had ever seen. All day long they played, and in the evening they came to the giant to bid him good-bye.
"But where is your little companion?" he said. "The boy I put into the tree."
The giant loved him the best, because he had kissed him.
"We don't know," answered the children. "He has gone away."
"You must tell him to be sure and come here tomorrow," said the giant.
But the children said that they did not know where he lived, and had never seen him before, and the giant felt very sad. Every afternoon, when school was over, the children came and played with the giant, but the little boy whom the giant loved was never seen again. The giant was very kind to all the children, yet he longed for his first little friend, and often spoke of him.
"How I would like to see him," he used to say.
Years went over, and the giant grew very old and feeble. He could not play about any more, so he sat in a huge armchair, and watched the children at their games and admired his garden.
"I have many beautiful flowers," he said, "but the children are the most beautiful flowers of all."
One winter morning he looked out of his window as he was dressing. He did not hate the winter now, for he knew that it was merely the spring asleep and that the flowers were resting. Suddenly he rubbed his eyes in wonder and looked and looked. It certainly was a marvelous sight. In the farthest corner of the garden was a tree quite covered with lovely white blossoms. Its branches were all golden, and silver fruit hung down from them, and underneath it stood the little boy he had loved. Downstairs ran the giant in great joy, and out into the garden. He hastened across the grass and came near to the child, and when he came quite close his face grew red with anger, and he said,
"Who hath dared to wound thee?"
For on the palms of this child's hands were the prints of two nails, and the prints of two nails were on the little feet.
"Who hath dared to wound thee?" cried the giant. "Tell me, that I may take my big sword and slay him."
"Nay," answered the child, "but these are the wounds of love."
"Who art thou?"
said the giant, and a strange awe fell on him, and he knelt before the little child. And the child smiled on the giant and said to him,
"You let me play once in your garden. Today you shall come with me to my garden, which is paradise."
And when the children ran in that afternoon, they found the giant lying dead under the tree, all covered with white blossoms.
There goes another giant. Cross that selfish giant off the list. He's gone. Hey. And that's what we do here at the Secret Kindergarten. We get rid of giants. Right now, I have three questions for you. Before we reach the end of another half hour of the Secret Kindergarten, question number one, can you tell me your favorite animal? Really? favorite animal is a bubble-blowing baby? That's not an animal. Do you want to know my favorite animal? My favorite animal right now is my new puppy! I got a black Labrador puppy. His name's Ernie. And then I feel guilty for my cat. And then my cat's my favorite animal. So my favorite animal is a cat and a dog. Okay, question number two. Can you tell me your favorite color? Interesting. My favorite color is orange. Can you tell me your favorite place to go? I love going there too. Well, we've reached the end of another half hour of the Secret Kindergarten. I love you. Bye. We'll see you on the other side of the ad break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the Truth Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio! Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio!
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the Secret Kindergarten. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, the Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Dear listeners, today we're reaching out with a special message that goes beyond our usual discussions of truth and important issues. We're in the midst of a fundraising event aimed at upgrading our streaming server equipment. This is a crucial step for us to continue delivering the insightful and engaging content you rely on. Our goal is to raise $82.3 million. And where I'm just kidding, all we need is $1,300. $1,300. $1,300. We're inviting our valued community, that's you, to be a part of this effort. Every contribution, no matter the size, makes a big difference. It really does. When you make your donation, please indicate that it's for the stream server to ensure it supports this specific cause. We're here to keep the conversation going, to delve into the truths that matter. And with your help, we can ensure that our platform remains strong and uninterrupted. Thank you for considering a donation and for being an active participant in our community of truth seekers. Your support is what empowers us to tackle the big issues and keep the dialogue alive. Thank you once again. And if you don't donate, we're going to smack your bottom. Okay. Now let's dive back into today's show. Welcome back to the Secret Kindergarten. I'm your host, Gino. And it's good to have you here listening today. I cannot believe it. It's already nature time. Talk about stick insects. Unbelievable. What's a stick insect? Well, stick insects are insects well known for their camouflage. They hide in nature. They look like sticks. They look like things. The environment, you can't notice them. Stick insects are also known as stick bugs, walking sticks, bug sticks, phasmids, ghost insects, and leaf insects. There are about 3,000 species of stick insects. Stick insects are found in all continents except Antarctica. They are the most numerous in the tropics and the subtropics. Stick insects vary in size. From 1.5 centimeters, that's pretty small, which is just over 1/2 inch, to about 60 centimeters, which is about 2 feet, 24 inches in length. That's huge! Oh my goodness! Have you ever seen a stick insect that big? That's like a branch insect. Males are typically smaller than females. Stick insects generally mimic their surroundings in color, normally green or brown, although some may be black, gray, or even blue. Many species have a rocking motion where the body sways from side to side, like leaves or twigs swaying in the breeze. When camouflage is not enough, some stick insects use active forms of defense to handle predators. For example, the species Eurycantha calcarata can release an awful-smelling substance as a deterrent. Other species have brightly colored wings that are invisible when folded against their body. When they feel threatened, they flash open their wings, then immediately drop to the ground and again hide their wings. Stick insects are herbivores, meaning that the diet of the stick insect is purely a vegetarian one. Stick insects mainly feed on leaves and other green plants. Some are very specialized, feeding only upon a favored plant species. Their droppings contain broken down plant material that becomes food for other insects. Research has been conducted to analyze the stick insect method of walking and apply this to the engineering of six-legged walking robots. Instead of one centralized control system, it seems each leg of a phasmid operates independently. And that was Nature Time, and now I want to play you an audio story. This one's called The Fox in the Well.
The Fox in the Well by Ramaswamy Raju. A fox fell into a well and was holding hard to some roots at the side of it, just above the water. A wolf, who was passing by, saw him and said, "Hello, Reynard. After all, you have fallen into a well, but not without a purpose, and not without the means of getting out of it," said the fox. "What do you mean?" said the wolf. "Why," said the fox, "there is a drought all over the country now, and the water in this well is the only means of appeasing the thirst of the thousands that live in this neighborhood. They held a meeting and requested me to keep the water from going down lower, so I am holding it up for the public good. What will be your reward?" said the wolf. "They will give me a pension and save me the trouble of going about every day in quest of food, not to speak of the innumerable other privileges that will be granted me. Further, I am not to stay here all day. I have asked a kinsman of mine, to whom I have communicated the secret of holding up the water, to relieve me from time to time. Of course, he will also get a pension and have other privileges. I expect him here shortly." "Ah, Reynard, may I relieve you then? May I hope to get a pension and other privileges? You know what a sad lot is mine, especially in winter." "Certainly," said the fox, "but you must get a long rope, that I may come up and let you in." So the wolf got a rope. Up came the fox, and down went the wolf, when the former observed with a laugh, "My dear sir, you may remain there till doomsday, or till the owner of the well throws up your carcass," and left the place.
Mama's gonna rock you in her arms, in her arms, in her arms. Mama's gonna rock you in her arms. pretty baby, you're surrounded in love. Daddy's gonna rock you in his arms, in his arms, in his arms. Daddy's gonna rock you in his arms, pretty baby, you're surrounded in love. Grandma's gonna rock you in her arms, in her arms, in her arms. Grandpa's gonna rock you in his arms, pretty baby, you're surrounded in love. Auntie's gonna rock you in her arms, in her arms, in her arms. Uncle's gonna rock you in his arms, pretty baby, you're surrounded in love. Cousins gonna rock you in their arms, pretty baby, surrounded in love. Family's gonna rock you in its arms, pretty baby, you're surrounded in love. Pretty baby, you're surrounded in love. Pretty baby, you're surrounded in love. So the seeds in the ground below, at the sun and the rain, see the flowers grow. I can see in front of me a daffodil as pretty as can be.
Teaching his student. He told him, "Put this salt in water and come back to me in the morning." So the student did as he was told. The next morning, the teacher asked the student to bring back the salt he put in the water the night before. The student couldn't see the salt because it had dissolved in the water. "Taste the top of it," said the teacher. "How is it?" "It is salty," said the student. "Taste the middle of it," said the teacher. "How is it?" "It is salty," said the student. "Taste the bottom of it," said the teacher. "How is it?" "It is salty," said the student. "Take it away then, and return to me." And he did so, and the teacher said to him, "Just like how you couldn't see the salt in the water, but it was still there, the real things in the world might not be visible, but they exist. The soul is the essence of everything. It's the real self." I've got a poem for you. And this one is called Who Likes the Rain? By Clara Doty Bates. I, said the duck, I call it fun, for I have my little red rubbers on. They make a cunning three-toed track in the soft, cool mud. Quack, quack, quack. I, cried the dandelion. I. My roots are thirsty. My buds are dry. And she lifted a tow-sled yellow head out of her green and grassy bed. I hope 'twill pour, I hope 'twill pour, purred the tree toad at his grey back oar. For with a broad leaf for a roof, I am perfectly weatherproof. Sang the brook, I laugh at every drop and wish they never need to stop. Till a big, big river I grew to be and could find my way out to the sea. I, shouted Ted, for I can run with my high-top boots and my raincoat on through every puddle and runlet and pool that I find on my way to school. I'm going to play you some more music, thanks to Nancy Stewart of nancymusic.com.
Let's go down to the frog pond. Let's go down to the frog pond. Let's go down to the frog pond and listen to the froggies sing. Ribbit, 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 ribbit.
Barley grow, oats, peas, beans, and barley grow. To you or high or any
claps his hands and turns around to view his land. Oats, peas, beans, and barley grow. Oats, peas, beans, and barley grow. Do you or I or anyone know how oats, peas, beans, and barley grow? As the farmer harvests his seeds, stands up tall and takes his ease, stamps his feet and claps his hands, and turns around to view his land. Oats, peas, beans, and barley grow. Oats, peas, beans, and barley grow. Do you or I or anyone know how oats, peas, beans, and barley grow? Plant a little seed, watch it grow. Soon we will have a vegetable.
This one's orange and rabbits like to eat it. It's a carrot.
Plant a little seed, watch it grow. Soon we will have a vegetable.
This one grows under the ground, and when it's ready to eat, you have to dig it up. It's a potato.
Plant a little seed, watch it grow. Soon we will have a vegetable.
You might call this one little trees because it looks like little trees. It's broccoli.
Plant a little seed, watch it grow. Soon we will have a vegetable.
This one's long and yellow, and sometimes we pop it. It's corn.
Plant a little seed, watch it grow. Soon we will have a vegetable.
This one's round and green, and we call it a head. It's a head of lettuce.
Now we are coming up to the end of the show. I want to tell you an activity idea for home, for adults and children, for the whole family to do together. This activity idea is called Magic Potions. Okay. So what you need some herbs. Ideally, you want to go out into the garden and find some herbs and plants, flowers. Need a jar, or you need a bottle. An old jar will be perfect. And you need some cooking oil, so you need your mummy and daddy to help with this. Ideally, you want some olive oil, but any cooking oil is going to be good. And that's all you need. And if you're not sure about what's out in the garden or what's outside, have a look in the cupboard. And use the herbs that mummy and daddy use for cooking. And you make up your own magic recipe. And what is your magic potion for? Is it for a bump or a bruise? Is it for a freckle? Is it for a sore shoulder? Is it because you hurt your finger? Is it for sunburn? Is it for for something on your house? Is it to put outside the door? So once you get all your herbs and your oil in, you want to go outside and you want to put it outside. You want to do it at the night time when you can see the moon. And you got to ask mummy and daddy, what's a balsamic moon? That's when you want to put it outside, under the balsamic moon. And I'm telling all you adults out there, kids are very observant of the moon and the moon phases. When you put it out under the balsamic moon, which is when there's only a little bit of moon left and it's about to go away, that's when you put it out. And you leave it out there for the moon to work its magic until the moon comes all the way back round and becomes nearly full, which is a waxing gibbous moon. Okay? So when it's a waxing gibbous moon, your magic potion is ready. When the moon is almost completely full. Sounds tricky, but do it with Mum and Dad. Hey, Mum and Dad, you'll be surprised. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the next one. Willow's Poetry Corner coming up next. Yay! See you at the next one.
Understanding must arise during these times of unparalleled deceit. A view into the depths of society upon which this country has fallen. A storm brews upon the horizon. It's been said that those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will play a paramount role in the furthering of humanity and civilized society. But can civilized society and humanity survive the coming conflicts not seen since a dawn of time in ages bypassed? But you can find true forms of information and knowledge in abundance at revolution.radio, freedomsluts.com, the number one.